Well, good evening. It sure is good to be with you. Got a good crowd tonight. I appreciate that. Thank you for coming. I told Marta, I said, well, there's a lot of folks here tonight. There's a good crowd. They knew I was coming, and they really turned out. Amen. And she looked at me, and she said, they're having ice cream after church, Mike. That'll humble you. Well, we've been having a good time here in the States, traveling around a little bit, getting to preach in some churches. It's been a blessing, and I tell you, we're living in difficult times, aren't we? Amen. Coronavirus, difficult situation, huh? Lord knows all about it. I found out something this week. Do you know why ants, or amigas, do you know why ants could never get sick from the coronavirus? You know why? Because they have these little antibodies. I'm not very good at jokes, amen. That's the truth, though, eh? Well, drove the other week up past Tallahassee, went up there to preach at a church. Preacher called me and wanted me to come up there and preach on a Friday night at missions thing they were having. It was a long ways, too. It was 6 hours up there Saturday and 6 hours back, or 6 hours on Friday and 6 hours on Saturday trying to get back. And had three churches together. Had a nice group of people, preached good. They were seeming like they were real receptive of it. That Friday morning, we were heading out to drive up there and got in the car, and we were going out. And I told Martin, I said, why don't we stop into McDonald's here? Let me get a cup of coffee before we hit the interstate. Amen. I'd like to have that coffee in the morning. Amen. And so we pulled in there, and I was pulled up to the drive-thru, and I said to her, I said, you want one? And she said, no, you just go ahead and you get one. And so I ordered just a small little coffee for a dollar. Put two creamers and one sugar in there. And I get up there to the window to pay for it. I got my dollar ready. And she says to me, she says, oh, it's already paid for. I said, it is. And she says, yes, sir. I said, well, who paid for it? And she said, the lady in the car in front of you. I said, really? Well, amen. And so I stuck my dollar back in my pocket and took the coffee, and I drove off. And I was trying to see who it was, and I couldn't see who it was. Hey, whoever done that, I appreciate that. Amen. Hey, it's the little things in life that make a big deal, isn't it? Huh? She looked at her mirror and said, that looked like a preacher back there. I'm going to buy him a cup of coffee. Amen. That was a blessing, man. I tell you. I mean, things like that happen sometimes. Huh? I remember Martin and I, when we were in college, we were going up to North Florida. I was assistant pastor in a church up there for 2 years while we were finishing up our school here. And we'd go up there every week, Friday evening, and drive back Sunday night after the last service. 2.5 hours. Done that for 2 years and made... Oh, we didn't make anything. I think we had enough to cover the gas. I think they gave us enough to cover the gas. But it was a good learning experience. And I remember us going up there many times. I remember one time we were eating, I think on the way up there. We'd stopped in somewhere to eat. And we, good Christians, we pray over our food, by the way. And we were praying there at the table and got ready to go. And it had already been paid for. Amen. And people, they just see you, Christian, and want to do something for you, man. That's a blessing. Last time I was here in the States, this is the longest we've been in the States in 10 years, by the way. Last time we was here in the States, we was here for about 6 weeks, and I didn't have a cell phone because the missionary, when you come back to the States, you don't have cell phone plan. And so I didn't have a cell phone, and I was trying to find this church, and I needed to call the pastor, and we were out somewhere in, I don't know, Idaho or somewhere. We were way out west. And I said, I whipped into a gas station, and I said, well, there's a guy right there. Let me see if I can use his cell phone. So I jumped out the car, and I run into the stranger there coming out the store, and I said, I'm a missionary in South America, and I'm trying to find this church, and I need to call the pastor. And I don't have a cell phone because I live outside the country, been outside the country for years. I said, can I use your cell phone? He looked at me. He might have been thinking I was going to run away with it. He looked at me. And he gave it to me, and I called the preacher real fast, and it didn't take just a minute for me to get the direction real clear, and I give it back to him. He reached in his billfold and pulled out a $20 bill and gave it to me. God just does stuff like that, man. It's unbelievable. It just happens all the time to us, amen? Not all the time now, but God is good, amen? God is good, amen? Well, if you've heard me preach a few times, I'm a no-nonsense kind of preacher. I don't really beat around the bush, kind of just get right to it, amen? And we've been hearing a lot of preaching from the end of the book since we've been back here in the States. You'd think the rapture was coming, amen? A lot of preaching in Revelation, amen? I love listening to Pastor Carter. Boy, he's something, ain't he? I preached another day on the mask. on the number of the beast, and I just unbelievable stuff. I'm going to take you to the beginning of the book. Amen. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Hope you have your Bible. Very important to bring your Bible to church, by the way. Genesis chapter 8. We're going to do something completely different tonight. Genesis chapter 8. Amen. Everybody's there. Genesis chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 6. When we came back to the States the other month, Dr. Lee and Mrs. Lee had invited us over to their house for dinner. We like that kind of stuff, by the way. We like eating. Good fellowship, too. And Dr. Lee was telling me about the Ark Encounter up there in Kentucky. I think that's where it's at, right? Kentucky. I'd never been there. I want to go there one day, but I'd never been there. So he was telling me all about it. And after he did, I said, you know what? I'm going to preach on that. I'm going to preach a message on that. And Dr. Lee, I developed this message here. And some of the thoughts in this message come from our conversation. Amen. And so let's begin there. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6. Read with me, amen. I'll read. You just follow along. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him in the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. And we ask, God, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord God, and just do a work. And, Lord, help me, Lord, to be filled with that power and that spirit, Lord God, to speak to every heart. And, Lord God, I know that every person has needs. And, Lord God, some are very special needs and very intimate needs, Lord God. And I pray, God, that we just could be a blessing, Lord God, tonight to your people and your church. Thank you, Lord God, for everyone that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you think about this story, the book of Genesis has always been an exciting book for me to read. Probably my favorite book in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. I read it one time in one day. It's 50 chapters. And I like that so much. One time setting that I read the book of Exodus the next day, 40 chapters. I think when you read big portions of Bible like that, it doesn't give you really a lot of time to sit down and contemplate it if you want to get done that day. So you just have to read. But I think it really does something for you spiritually. This story here, we've got, of course, Noah, the man of God, escapes the old world, builds the ark of God, saves his sons and his sons' wives. 8 people were saved in the ark. We know that pre-flood, that the people were a worldly people. I mean, they were a terrible people. And if you read over in the New Testament, and around 1st or 2nd Peter, you find out some of their sins, and it was an ungodly people. And they were so ungodly that God chose to destroy them in the flood. He saved only Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their 3 wives. So 8 people were saved in the ark. We also find out that it took Noah a very long time to build this boat. I don't personally think that it was such a strange thing that he was building a boat. Maybe the fact of the scale of this boat, that it was so large, was a little bit out of the ordinary. I think pre-flood, I think the people knew what boats were. They had bodies of water, lakes and rivers and oceans. They had all that. Even though it had never rained from the sky, they knew what water was. Probably they had some kind of floating crafts, and you could call them boats if you want to. Probably they had that even pre-flood. But so I don't think that was the shock of this. I think the fact that he was building such a large boat on land that would be almost impossible to get to the water, that was the difficult thing for them to understand. And then, of course, he was preaching and trying to get folks to turn from their sin during all this preaching campaign, during all this construction. We know that at the end of the building project that God calls all the animals, and he fills that boat up with these animals. He shuts the door, and then it begins to rain. We know that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. It rained so much that the waters exceeded the highest mountains. It covered the whole earth. It said in the context that we read that the waters were upon the whole earth. That doesn't mean it was just upon Europe. That doesn't mean it was just upon a part of the world. It says that the waters were upon the whole earth. So the whole earth was covered with water. If you think about Noah and his family and all those animals in the ark, and we understand that he was probably in that ark for a better part of a year, maybe a little over a year, from start to finish, a very, very, very long, long time. The Bible tells us that Noah, on the ark, in the construction of that ark, there was one door and there was one window. And I know that there's a lot of debate about the window, and if you read, there's only really two places in the Bible where it even talks about the window. The most known place is in chapter 6 and verse 16, and it says, "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above." And so a cubit is about 18 inches, so it's about from the tip of your finger to your elbow right there. In some cultures, it was up to 24 inches, but in Jewish culture, it was actually 18 inches. And so 18-inch window by 18-inch window is a very small window. And you can imagine there was hundreds and hundreds of animals on that boat, plus eight people. And so I personally believe, and I've never been to the Ark Encounter, I'm sure 18-inch by 18-inch window would be a lot easier to build, but I kind of personally believe that window was 18 inches but long, probably went all the way around the top of the boat. Now, look at what it says here. It says, "And a window shalt thou make in the ark, in a cubit shalt thou finish it above." What is the it? It is the boat. It is the ark. And so I think that window probably went around the better part, if not all, of the top part of the ark, and I'll tell you why. Well, first of all, there was a lot of animals on that boat, a lot of animals. And they were on there for a year. And so you can imagine those animals were eating and they were doing other things. And so it was a lot of cleanup. And I mean daily cleanup. My grandparents had a horse ranch. And when I was a little kid, they had upwards to 50 Appaloosas on that farm. And it was a lot of work. As they got older, it was less horses and less horses and less horses because it was just so much work. Could you imagine all of those animals? Well, all of that extra, bless God, had to go out that little 18-inch by 18-inch window. Very difficult ordeal. And so the window, I think, had to have been a little bit bigger. I think it was finished above with that 18 inches that went all the way around. Another thing is I think that with all of those animals in there, it probably would have made it a little bit hard to breathe. I mean, can you imagine the smell inside the ark? It must have been terrible. I can see Noah, don't nobody light a fire, this place will blow up, you know? I think they needed to have a little bit more ventilation in the ark. It probably took all of his sons to open that window. Just food for thought. Nevertheless, the Bible says that there was a window in the ark. Also in the context as we read, we find out that Noah opened that window and he released two birds out that window. And tonight I want to preach to you on this thought, the two birds of Noah. The two birds of Noah. Okay, now, the first bird. The first bird, the Bible tells us, was a raven. Now, a raven, if you look at the scientific name for a raven, it's called C. corax. C. corax. A raven is a black bird, but it's not a blackbird and it's not a crow. There's no ravens in this area, by the way. You think that you see some ravens. There's no ravens around here. Ravens are not native to this area. What you're seeing around here is crows or blackbirds. And a blackbird and a crow are different. And a crow is bigger than a blackbird, but a raven is bigger than all of them. Ravens can live 15 to 23 years in the wild. That's pretty good lifespan. But it can live much longer than that in captivity. As a matter of fact, I read a case study that they had a raven in England that had lived more than 40 years in captivity. Some birds have really long lifespans. Probably one of the longest living birds is a macaw. You know what a macaw is? It's like a big giant parrot. Well, I remember when I was a kid, I worked in a bird shop, and they had some macaws in there, blue and gold ones, red and blue ones. But the blue and gold macaws, they can live 60 years in the wild. 60 years on average in the wild. Winston Churchill, he was the minister during World War II. It was said that he had a macaw that he had bought from his father-in-law in 1937. His father-in-law told him that bird was born in 1899, which would have made the bird about 38 years old when he bought the bird from his father-in-law. And years passed, and he died. The bird was donated. And finally, the bird ended up in England, in a refuge with all of this history behind it. And in 2017, the bird known as Charlie was still alive, 117 years old. And you can read about it on the internet. 117 years old. Now, can you imagine? The bird was born in 1899. Winston Churchill bought the bird in 1937. And in 2017, the bird was still alive. I mean, there's some animals that have very long lifespans, and not even to begin to talk about tortoises and some crocodiles that can live hundreds of years. Nevertheless, the first bird that was released out the window, the raven, had a very long lifespan. Also about the raven, that it would grow to some 26 inches in length, and it had a 4-foot wingspan. Full-grown raven, 4-foot wingspan. That's a pretty good sized bird. That's a bird that sits up like this here with a big 4-foot wingspan. And so another thing about the raven is that it was a carnivorous animal. That means that it ate meat. It eats meat. About 90% of its diet is meat and fish and things like that. So the raven was the first bird that Noah released out the window. The second bird that Noah released out the window was a dove. Now, a dove is completely different. The raven has about 8 different species of the ravens. There's about 8 different species, subspecies around the planet. But a dove, there is more than 300 subspecies of the dove around the planet. I mean, there's a lot of different types of doves. And the dove is a completely different animal. I mean, it's a lot smaller. It's a different color. It's not black. It's white or cream or sometimes a grayish color. There's a lot of different types of doves on the planet. And doves, for the most part, are protected by federal and state laws. Also, the dove is different in its nature in the fact that it's not a carnivorous animal. In other words, it doesn't eat meat. It eats seeds and berries and grains and some leaves and things like that. So the dove was a completely different type of animal, a completely different type of bird that Noah released out the window. And so if you think about these two birds, so you got Noah, he opens the window, probably with the help of his sons, and then he releases a raven out the window. Now the raven is a good sized bird. It got a 4-foot wingspan. And so the raven is flying through the air. Now, it's not raining. The rains have stopped, but the water is upon the whole face of the earth. I mean, there's no dry land nowhere. But the Bible says that the raven never came back to the safety of the ark, even though there was no dry land on the planet. So the raven, imagine in your mind, is a big bird. He's flying through the sky. The ark is beneath him. He's flying. And what do you suppose the first thing the raven saw was? Dead bodies. Probably so. I there's a whole lot of people on planet at that time. And not only people, but animals. And so if they all died in the flood, and Noah opened the window up 40 days later, probably there was a lot of, I don't want to be gross with you here, but a lot of dead bodies in the water, of people and of animals. And so the raven, because of his nature, would be flying through the sky. Good-sized bird. And he would look down, and you know what he saw? Lunch. So he'd swoop down and he'd land all those carcasses and he'd eat a little bit and he'd rest. I mean, a big elephant would be like an island to him. He'd just walk around on that thing, huh? And then he'd fly off. Hey, he had no problem, because of his nature, partaking of that filth, of that dirtiness, of that carcass, of that meat. No, he had no problem. And the Bible says that that raven never came back to the ark. We don't know how long exactly Noah waited, but he waited and he waited and he waited, and the raven didn't come back. And the Bible says that he goes and gets a second bird. And that second bird, we find out, is a dove. And it releases the dove out. Now, a dove is a completely different animal. A dove not only looks different because it's white or cream rather than black, and not only is it a lot smaller, with a lot smaller wingspan, but the most important thing, and the reason I believe that he chose the dove and not another raven, was because it was not a carnivorous animal. And so he releases the dove out the window. The dove, smaller bird, is flying through the air, and the dove sees the same exact things that the raven saw. Saw the same carcass, saw the same filth, saw the same stuff in the world. And the Bible tells us that the dove could find no place to rest the sole of her foot, and she returns to the safety of the ark. Now, if you think about that, the raven really is a type of the lost man. It's a type and picture of the lost man that goes out into the world, sees the filth of this world, and has no problem partaking in the dirtiness and the filth and the nastiness that this world has to offer. And he's very content to be out there in the world, flying around, a part of his life, a part of his way of living. It's his nature that compels him to be a part of that. Whereas the dove, which is a picture of the child of God. It was the dove that they said when the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus, it came down in the form of a dove. So the dove represents God's people. The dove represents the child of God that goes out into the same world, sees the same filth, and says, no, 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 no. I can't get involved in that. I can't land down there on that. I can't partake of that. There's no place to rest the sole of my foot. And the dove returns to the safety of the ark. You know, when I think about that, in that light, I see that there's a real truth in it. I see that in the world that we live in, really there's just two types of people. Really there's just two types of birds. There's ravens and there's doves. There's the lost man, there's the raven that partakes of the filth of this world and lives in it and is very content to stay in it. And then there's the dove, there's God's people that will not, cannot, because of its nature, continue to live in that filth, continue to partake of that. Do you know that when someone receives Christ as their Savior, they literally are transformed? That they were maybe a raven at one point in their life. Got anybody here used to be a raven? Hey, they were maybe a raven at one point in their life, but a transformation took place. Bless God, the Bible says they received a new nature. Let me tell you about that nature. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 24, it says this, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. The new man. The Bible says over here in 2 Peter 1, it says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these, watch this, ye might be partakers of the divine divine nature. That you might be partakers of the divine nature. Bless God, when someone gets saved, the Bible says that they receive a new nature. You're not the same. One of the probably most well-known verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's what happens when someone gets saved. That's what happens when someone receives Christ. When someone receives that new nature, they get born again. And God takes away all of the desires for the filth of this world. You know, that when someone's saved, they're going to be a different person. They're going to be a different person, watch this, right away. They're not going to be a perfect person, still not a perfect person, by the way, but they're going to be a different person, amen? Because the Spirit of God moves in, saves that person, and gives that person a divine nature, a nature that comes from God. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that says, no, 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 you can't partake in that. No, 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 you can't get involved in that. It's the Holy Spirit of God. You know that the new birth is necessary. You know, you can't go through life with just knowledge about God and the Bible. We call that religion. It's not good enough. You can know all types of things about the Bible. You can know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. You can know that he turned the water into wine. You can know that Moses parted the Red Sea. You can know all types of information about the Bible right here and not have it right here. Hey, when you get born again, it's something that moves into your heart, the seat of your emotions. It's the new birth. It makes you a new creature. It makes you desire the things of God. It makes you want to know God. It makes you want to walk with God. It keeps you from the filth and the dirtiness of this world. It's called a new nature. And if you don't have the new nature and you only have information, you're never going to make it to heaven. You see, you've got to be saved. You've got to be born again. You know, I believe in all my heart, there's a whole lot of people that's going to miss heaven because they were right with God here and it bypassed the heart. I mean, you can literally miss heaven by that distance right there. The difference between the head and the heart. Young boy says to the preacher, says, "Preacher, how do you know that you're saved?" That's a hard question. How do you know that you're saved? And the preacher thinks about that. And he says, "Well, I just don't want to do the things that I used to do anymore." Well, that's a simple truth. That's a simple truth. I just don't want to do the things that I used to do anymore. And I know that everybody comes from different walks of life. I know that some people come from very, very good families, very established families. And they've never been really, really bad in the world's sense of bad. And I know sometimes that it's a little bit hard to tell the difference than someone who's been terrible and then gets saved. Huh? I know that. Nobody knows your heart more than you do. And what I'm telling you is that the Bible is very clear that man has to be born again. Man has to receive a new nature, a nature that comes only from God, a nature that consumes you. It's a nature that fills you. It's a nature that drives you and compels you. It's a nature that seals you and saves you and secures you. Huh? It's the very nature of God. It's a new creature. You have to become a new creature. You know, there's a lot of traps in this world. There's a lot of things to trip you up. We as God's people, we're in this world. And we're a part of this world. You say, "I'm not a part of this world, I'm part of God's world." No, you're a part of this world. Because you go to the same grocery stores that the lost man goes to. You eat in the same restaurants that the lost man eats in. You work in the same companies that the lost man works in. No, you're a part of this world. But we're not of this world. You see, our home is in heaven. Amen? Our home is in heaven. And I'm telling you, friends, that the Bible is so very clear about this thing of being born again. That's why every time I have the opportunity to speak to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, I run right to this, being born again. Have you been born again? And they have not. And they know nothing of that teaching. They do not understand it. They don't even know who Jesus is. You have to be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot go to heaven. That's the truth. Hell's going to be full of religious people. Yeah. You know, you could be flying through life right now as a raven. You can be flying through life right now. And the raven was a good-sized bird. It was a big bird. It was a predator. Was not the prey like the dove, by the way. Doves didn't live nowhere near as long a lifespan. You know why? Because they were a prey instead of the predator. But the raven was a predator. Huh? Not too many other people or animals or birds messed with the raven. It'd peck you to death. But you could be flying through life as a raven, not realizing that your nature is carnivorous. Means that it desires the things of the flesh instead of the things of God. Yeah. Only you can answer that question. Only you can look in your innermost heart, your deepest part of you, and know where you stand at in the eyes of God. You can be religious. You can have information. You can do spiritual things. You can be a part of a church. You can have a Bible. You can even read your Bible and still have that old raven's nature and never have truly been born again. When a person is born again, they know it. The Spirit of God indwells that person and they know it. Do you know what it feels like to be in love with someone? Little children, they don't understand really what love is. But you and I, who's had those experiences, we know what love is. We know what it means to love someone with all of our heart, and with all of our mind, and all of our spirit. And we would give our life for that person. That love is so strong. Can you explain that to someone who's never had that experience? Can you explain that to a 7-year-old that doesn't know what love is, what true love is? Can you explain that to them? Well, you can try. Well, son, it means being nice to someone. And it does. It does. Well, son, it means sacrificing for someone. And it does. But can you really explain it where they can really understand it like you understand it? Probably no. You know what? It's just best that they have that experience for themselves. Yeah. There's just some things you just can't explain fully or good enough. That someone who doesn't have it, someone that hasn't experienced it, it's hard to explain it to them where they can truly understand it the way that you understand it. Can I tell you that there's people all around us that have no idea what it means to truly know God? To truly have been born again by the Spirit of God? Can I tell you that they're all around us in every part of our life? There's ravens all around us. But the beautiful thing about salvation is that a raven, a blackbird, black in texture, carnivorous animal, desires the flesh, that a raven can receive a new nature. That a person as bad as me can receive a new nature. That a person as bad as you could receive a new nature, a divine nature, a nature that comes only from God. It's an experience that you'll have with God that you'll never be able to truly explain to another person, not even to those closest to you. But you'll know about it because it'll be in your heart. It'll be in your life. It'll be an experience just for you. I remember when God came into my heart. And friends, it happened almost immediately. The desire that I had for Him rather than the things of the world. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And now it's many years later. And it's still there. That's what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. That means, that's what it means to know God and to walk with Him and to serve Him and to read His Word and to have a prayer life and to tell other people about Christ and to be a testimony in this lost and dying world and to tell folks that Jesus is coming. And if you don't get right with God, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to a devil's hell, friend. You know, when we read in the Bible that a man could become a new creature, we read that verse and we think about what that means. What does it mean to become a new creature? What does it mean to become a different person? Am I going to look the same? Yes. Am I going to feel the same? Sort of. Am I going to do the same things? No. Am I going to think different? Yes. Am I going to act different? Most definitely. Am I going to be strange? Without a doubt. Are people going to reject me from time to time? But that relationship that you have birthed with God, and it is a birth. Can a man go the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? No. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual birth. It's on the inside. The outside still kind of looks the same. Huh? I didn't get any prettier. Huh? Yeah. But the inside, it became beautiful. The inside. That peace that you have with God. Do you remember what it was like when you first got saved? Do you remember? When the fire of God was so fresh and hungry inside of you? And you felt like God was going to use you to do great things for Him. It was only a matter of time. Huh? Remember that fire? Remember that passion for His Word? When you'd spend hours reading the Bible? Huh? You remember when you felt like your prayers could shake the halls of heaven? You remember that? That should never go away. That should stay with us. That's God that lives within us. Friends, there just may be someone tonight that still has that raven's nature. Hey, I would not condemn you for a moment. I lived with that raven's nature for a very long time. I know the raven very well. We spoke face to face many a nights. But the raven's nature, the raven's desires, the raven's way to live, I don't want that anymore. Because I received a divine nature. It comes only from God. And if you're born again here tonight, you've received that nature too. It's a part of God that lives in you. And it seals you. And it saves you. And it secures you. And it satisfies you. And it strengthens you. Yeah. And it comes from the power of God. We read in our Bible about great men that done great things for God. We read books about men who've done great things for God in the past. And I've read a lot of books on great men. What about today? We serve the same God. And He is equipped and He is powerful. And if His Spirit lives in you, He will compel you. He will move you. He will drive you. He will push you. He will use you to do something great for Him. And something great for God, doing something great for God, might be something very, very simple that God will use in the heart of someone. If you can lead someone to Christ, that's doing something great for God. We've lost that in the day and time that we live. We're around people that are lost all the time and we don't talk to them about Christ. We've lost that desire and that passion to see souls saved. We get in this mindset of playing the church. I got to go to church. It's Sunday morning. I got to go to church. It's Wednesday night. And look at the world that we live in. Look at the world around us. Friend, it's going to hell. Jude said, right before you get to the book of Revelation, he said, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. That's our job, snatching them out of the fire, leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking a raven and showing that person how they can become a dove. Showing that person how they can get saved. I've seen some of the most terrible people get saved. And God cleans them up He puts a new heart in them. He not only cleans them up spiritually, he cleans them up physically. Now, you've seen it. I mean, people look like they come out of the gutter, but they'll get saved. Next thing you know, they're dressing better. Next thing you know, they got a place to live. Next thing you know, they're looking better. They're feeling better. Next thing you know, they're healthier. And 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you'd never be able to look at that person and think that they came from the gutter. No. You remember what it says in Jeremiah? That God pulled me up out of the miry clay, set me upon a rock, and established my goings. Friend, that's what happens when you get saved. You don't have to be old to get saved. You don't have to be married to get saved. You don't have to be a man to get saved. I was preaching one time years ago, and I wasn't preaching. I was the assistant pastor, youth pastor. And I had all of the youth. It was a Sunday night, and we run the bus on Sunday night also for those that wanted to come. And I had this one family that we bring every week. And it was two boys and two girls, and the youngest of the girls was 5 years old. And the boys were already saved. They were a little older, 8 and 9. And they would come, and they would sit beside me, and I always sat beside them because I had to keep them quiet in church, right? It had two rows of them, and it takes a talent to keep two rows of kids in order in a church service. But it can be done. It can be done. And so I was right there, and I had to watch them and keep them calm. And the invitations is happening. And preacher's giving the invitation. He's inviting folks to come to Christ. And somebody's tugging on my jacket right here. And I said, stop. Shh, shh, shh. Invitation. Stop. And so I'm focused. And then they keep tugging on my jacket. And I said, what's wrong? I thought I'm going to get in trouble. What's wrong? And this little girl, her name was Cheyenne. And her brother says to me, and he was about 8 years old. The brother says to me, Cheyenne wants to get saved. I said, she does. And I looked at Cheyenne. She's 5 years old. God is my witness. She's 5 years old. And tears are boiling down her face. I said, Cheyenne, do you want to get saved? She said, yeah. What can you do? You start thinking, is she old enough? Does she really understand? I said, come with me, Cheyenne. And we go up to the front of the altar. And preacher's looking at me kind of strange, huh? Because she's a little old girl. She's little for five. She looked like she's three. And I said, preacher, she's been coming on the bus for some time. I said, preacher, Cheyenne wants to get saved. And he started smiling. He said, she does. You help her, Brother Mike. And Cheyenne got saved on that altar at 5 years old. Is that amazing? Huh? That God would touch the heart of a young girl like that? You know that the older we get, the harder our hearts get. Yeah. Most people get saved when they're young. You know that? Because the older you are, the harder you get. Yeah. You don't get too many old people that get saved, but you get a whole lot of young people that get saved. Yeah. See, young people have believing faith. Young people just believe what you tell them. Look at there, I just pulled my finger off. Huh? Yeah? And they believe that. They just believe anything, right? See, kids are very special. They believe what you tell them. They believe that when you tell them that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and He'll save your soul if you'll open up your heart to Him. They just believe that. I don't know, but maybe tonight there's someone here that needs to get saved. I'm not talking about saying some words. I'm not talking about something spiritual or religious or something in your mind. Talking about being born again. I'm talking about really letting God work in your heart, convict you of your sin, and save your soul for all of eternity. It just might be someone like that tonight. I don't know. It's a big group here. Don't be so hard that you wouldn't let God speak to your heart. If you knew that Jesus was coming this week, I mean, He's coming this week. The rapture's going to happen this week. Would you be right? Would you be right with Him? Would you be ready to go? Would that experience, that prayer all those years ago, would you say now that it was sufficient? I talk with people sometimes. I say, when did you get saved? Oh, when I was a kid. Oh, yeah? How old was you? I don't know, 10 or 15 or something. Friend, you can rely on that to get into God's heaven? I remember the day. I remember the moment. I remember how it felt when Jesus Christ came into my heart. And all I can tell you is that it made me a different person. It made me a better person. It made me a much better person. That's telling you how bad it was. It made me a much better person. If you're here tonight, it's a Sunday night. I don't know what it's about, the 2nd of August, 2020. Jesus Christ is about to come back just like he said he would. He said, I don't believe that, preacher. I don't care what you believe. I'm telling you what the Bible says. He's about to come back just as he said he was. Hey, and if you're not born again, if you don't have a new nature, if you're not truly, truly right with him, you're not going up with the rest of us. You say, Brother Mike, you going up? You better believe I'm going up. I'm going to fight to get to the front of the line because I want to see the Lord Jesus. I want to see the man that I've been believing in all of these years. I want to see the face of the man that saved my soul all those years ago. I want to see the face of my King. I want to see the face of my Lord. Amen. If he would so graciously allow me, a person that literally come from the gutter, to earn a crown for him, that I could put at his feet, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Lord, if you'll give me ability, if you'll give me strength, if you'll give me opportunity, Lord, I'll win them for you. I'll tell them what your word says. You see, that's all that we can do is tell them what God's word says. I can't believe for you. I can't be saved for you. You have to do it. You have to make the decision. And you have to do it now. Because tomorrow is not promised to you. Jesus may come tonight. He may. As a matter of fact, by the way, young people, all young people do not live to be old. There's plenty of young people that die young. You see, tomorrow's not promised to us. That's why it's so important to be saved now. Hey, if you're not saved, if I wasn't saved, I'd be running down that altar and getting on my face before God, getting someone to tell me what the Bible says, that how I can be saved. Because at salvation, it's a new day. It's a fresh start. It's a new nature. It's a dove's nature. The raven is passed away. Friend, he's in the rearview mirror. And I don't want to see him anymore because he's got nothing for me. I'm a new man. I'm a new creature. I have a divine nature within me. And you do too if you're saved. If you're saved tonight, you're a child of the King. And you can serve him. You can live for him. You can be faithful in God's house. You can do something big for him. Hey, you don't have to settle for small things. You don't have to settle for scraps. God wants to use you if you'll let him. If you'll humble your heart before a mighty God and say, God, I'm not much, but use me, he will. You know what I've tried to do in my life? And I know I'm not nothing special. My wife tells me that all the time. You know what I've tried to do? Honestly, I just go through the doors that he opens up. I don't force doors open. I don't go looking for doors. I just say, Lord, open them up. And he opens them up. And I can tell you, from the time that we graduated this Bible college, many years ago, we have been nonstop in God's service. I have people call me all the time. Brother Mike, can you come preach for us? Brother Mike, can you do this? Brother Mike, would you be willing to do this? Brother Mike, we need this. He'll keep you busy. But you know what? You've got to be born again. You've got to have that contact, that feed that goes directly up to heaven. You can't be playing church and you can't be religious And you can't have knowledge. You got to have a relationship in your heart. And if you have that, and if you've been born again, God wants to use you. He'll put you in His hand, and He'll protect you, and He'll move you around like pieces on a chessboard. He will. But if you're here tonight, and you're not born again, and you don't have that new nature, friend, you're the one I'm talking to. You're the one that needs to get saved. Are you the one that sits in the back of the church? Huh? Are you the one that comes in at the last moment and the first one to leave? Huh? Are you the one that stays home and listens by radio? All I can tell you is that when I got born again, the desire, if I could say it like that, to walk with God compelled me so much that I came out of my shell and was a new creature. And have walked with Him ever since. If you're here tonight, you may say, "Preacher, I've been in church for a long time." If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that if you died tonight that you'd go to heaven, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that if you died this very night that you'd go to heaven, I'm speaking to you. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for this opportunity. And Lord, just maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to be born again. Just maybe, Lord, there's someone here tonight that needs to receive a new nature, a divine nature that can come only from You. Dear God, would You speak to that heart in a special way right now as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin to play. If the Lord's spoken to you and you want to receive a divine nature, you can do that tonight. It might be a good time just to come down and thank God that He saved your wretched soul and that your name is written in heaven. Might be a good time. I pray you will.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
That was an awesome message that we just heard. Brother Mullins put it so simple. The nature, the sin nature of man. I want to ask you to do something tonight. I know we're preaching to the choir, but with a crowd this size, there's usually at least one person that's lost. And if everybody in this room is saved, praise God. But there's a world out here that's dying and going to hell. We have loved ones and family members that are lost and on their way to hell tonight. I'm going to ask you, if you haven't done it, if you'll make your way to the altar tonight, can we pray for the world? Can we pray for those that are dying and on their way to hell tonight? For family members, all those outside of the church, and the thousands that are listening in radio land. Folks, I believe the rapture's coming. I believe it's coming soon. And I believe it's up to God's people to humble themselves before God. And we need to get on our face before the Lord and ask for His grace and His mercy on a world that's dying and going to hell tonight. We're going to play one or two more verses. And if you'll come down and pray with me.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. May the Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mullins. Awesome, awesome, awesome message.